Let us pray. Gracious God, we listen with humility, setting aside our own agendas and open to your correction and grace. Challenge us and comfort us in equal measure. Amen. So the reading today is Psalm 145, 8 through 14. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. All your works praise you, Lord. Your faithful people extol you. They tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all people may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is trustworthy in all he promises and faithful in all he does. The Lord upholds all who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Rick. And thank you to our band. That last song was a lot of fun. Our second reading is from the Gospel of Matthew today, chapter 11, and we'll begin at verse 16. This is Jesus speaking. To what can I compare this generation? They are like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling out to others. We played the pipe for you, and you did not dance. We sang a dirge, and you did not mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, here is a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. But wisdom, Jesus says, is proved right by her deeds. Then beginning at verse 25, at that time Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This is the word of the Lord. Chances are you are familiar with artificial intelligence by now and what all of that means. You are either knowingly using it in some manner, maybe, or it's enabling some of your devices like your phone or your web searches or even some of your appliances to function, like your washer and dryer, your refrigerator. That might be happening without your knowledge, but it's there. I've had what's called an Alexa device for a long time. That's the Amazon one. And it sits in our kitchen. And while the rest of the family unplugs it, I plug it back in. It's connected to our doorbell. And it's a smart tool, right? So it tells us when someone is at our door. It's also able to give us a weather report or maybe answer a question about a recipe or something like that if you're there in the kitchen. When my kids were younger, we would even play a couple games on it. There was a game where it would play a song and you had to guess the artist and the year and things like that, and it was fun. As you probably know, AI is much more advanced than it was in those early days of Alexa. It's now incorporated into your browser when you search, for example, like if you're searching for a good church in Hillsboro. My daughter even applied for jobs via artificial intelligence for some positions that responded right back to her and was able to schedule interviews and move forward that way. People are now using it like they never have before. So they're no longer just asking for the weather, which is probably our most popular question, or a safe temperature for the dinner cooking in the oven. You can receive a news report. You can do research for a trip you're planning and even check out prices online that way. You can receive advice as if you're asking a human being. What should you do for a date night with your spouse or a time out? Ask the chatbot. It'll tell you. It knows where you live and it'll tell you where to go. What does the Bible have to say about money? Ask the chatbot. See what it says. Should I look for a new job? A good chatbot will even answer that question for you. It'll ask additional questions. It will express encouragement to you and show some empathy. It will guide you through that decision, leading you to specific job listings and things that you might be interested in. You can test it. You can ask it just about anything, and it will answer. More people than ever before are asking AI also for relationship advice. You might be in a fight with your spouse, or something happened with your children. They're asking for help with their mental health. Now, this isn't a critique, it's a caution. There are so many voices that compete for our attention, and today I want to consider what voice speaks into each of our lives, shaping us most deeply. Our texts today are from the lectionary, and this is from a commentator on the Gospel of Matthew who says, this is a roller coaster ride, he puts it, as it goes from name-calling to woes to unrepentant cities to mysterious teachings that are better understood by infants, Jesus says, to Jesus' invitation for us to lay down our burdens and to cast our worries upon him. In this section of Matthew, Jesus has already called his disciples and provided some instruction, and this conversation starts to unfold about John the Baptist now. He speaks very highly of John, who baptized him, and then he talks about the ability of people, these today's generations, as we'll get into, to receive what he and John have to say, as well as criticisms they've both received. Both prophetic voices, of course, in this time of upheaval. This is a paraphrase by Eugene Peterson of verses 16 to 19 that makes it pretty easy to understand. Jesus says, how can I account for this generation? The people have been like spoiled children whining to their parents. We wanted to skip rope and you were always too tired. We wanted to talk and you were always too busy. John came fasting and they called him crazy. I came feasting and they called me a boozer, a friend of the misfits. Jesus says, opinion polls don't count for much, do they? The proof of the pudding is in the eating. I'm not sure much has really changed. Jesus' point here is they've complained about John the Baptist, they've complained about Jesus, and all this doesn't mean much because the proof is in the pudding anyway. In other words, he says, wisdom is proved right by her deeds. The fruit John, he says, and Jesus will bear will vindicate their ways, will vindicate God's ways. So instead of judging John the Baptist or Jesus by rumors of who they were or stereotypes, we are to look at the fruit that God bears. Our attachments and our consumptions distract us from God's voice. We worship money or technology, fame or friends, success or our belongings or acceptance from others. And this is worshiping what is created rather than the Creator, our God. Our desires become distractions, and then they become idols at times. And because of the technology available to us today, like never before, I'm convinced it's never been more timely to reclaim that relationship that we have with Christ than today, to listen for his voice and to receive wisdom from God. Matthew tells us the loudest voice or the strongest opinion or complaint isn't wisdom. For Matthew, wisdom is Jesus Christ. So what other voices speak into our lives and shape us? This, of course, is the 4th of July weekend and the 250th anniversary of the United States. We are so young, aren't we? So there's been a whole lot of discussion about patriotism and nationalism, about the president and about politics, about vision and direction and what the next 250 years will look like. There was a survey done in June by PBS News asking if Americans are still proud of their country, and the majority are. In fact, there were some other surveys that said the same thing. When I looked a little closer at the poll, I noticed that in 1976, 50 years ago, 76% of people surveyed thought this country had somewhat or definitely moved away from its founding ideals and principles. 76% in 1976. This year, 83% of those surveyed thought the U.S. had somewhat or definitely, those two categories combined, moved away from its ideals. Now, that's just 7 percentage points higher, and obviously two different times. My point is there have been loud voices and opinions who have shaped us over those 50 years, but they are louder today because of our access to news and social media and AI and certainly one another's opinions if you're online. And these loud voices and concerns for some become the most important thing to us. In this day and age, it's very easy to become distracted by defending our positions, our political persuasions, in our belief systems. Are we willing to follow Jesus, to follow God's voice and wisdom before nationality and political party and any other thing we might find our identity in? As Christians, our love for Jesus is to inform our love for our country. And in humility, of course, we are to depend on Jesus Christ. The commentator I quoted earlier adds this: we know we worship these things, these idols, when we become consumed by them. Too often our minds are permanently focused on these realities, and when someone gets in the way of these things, we get angry. Our anger reveals that we have closed our fists around something good that God has given us and made it into an idol. He goes on to say that when we worship Christ first, we receive joy and our other desires begin to fade somewhat. I would also add that the other loud voices competing for our attention, they start to lessen, they start to decrease in volume. James in our New Testament has a whole lot to say on wisdom. Great book. We need to preach on James here sometime soon. According to James, wisdom that comes from our world is earthly, unspiritual, devilish, and is not pure. He says, for where there's envy and selfish ambition, there also will be disorder and wickedness of every kind. But wisdom that's from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without a trace of partiality or hypocrisy. Remember, Jesus says at the end of this passage, wisdom is proved right by its actions, by its fruit. In this gospel, Matthew compares the wisdom of Jesus to the wisdom of the wise Solomon we read of in the Old Testament. And we're reminded, we read in Proverbs and other places, that wisdom itself precedes creation and is present at that time of creation and active. Proverbs says, when God marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him like a master worker. Matthew is saying Jesus, as God, preceded the creation of the world and of humankind. For Matthew, Jesus isn't just a messenger of wisdom, but is wisdom. As even the Apostle Paul puts it, it is because of God that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. You might recognize John 1:1 too. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It's a lot to take in, this piece. All of it's a lot. Our difficulties as a country are a lot. All of the voices and the opinions are all a lot. So Jesus ends this discussion with these verses about rest. And I think on this 4th of July weekend, I hear them a little bit differently. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. We are in all of this together. These burdens, be they individual or corporate or national, these burdens are the Lord's to carry. When we cannot find wisdom and we're unable to hear God's voice in our lives, we have one another, and Jesus says, there's rest. We don't need to have it all figured out. We help one another. We take a moment and rest and relax those burdens and refocus on the one we desire to hear the most and we desire to shape us the most. We refocus on God's wisdom and God's voice. Come to me, Jesus says. Not to the latest technology, not to the largest or the loudest group, not to the strongest voice. Come to me. Come to the wisdom already present in you by Jesus Christ, to the one who made you. He says, come to me, you who are weary. Come. Amen. Let us pray together. Oh Lord, we are tired. We are tired of division. We are tired of being a divided nation and of all the noise. Help us as your people to rest in you. On this holiday, God, we thank you for celebrations, and we thank you for the reality that you were here before all of this began. In you, we find peace. We find rest. And in Jesus Christ and in your Son, we find hope. We thank you for the freedom we have in you, in Jesus. No longer instruments of sin, but instruments of righteousness. We ask God to be bearers of your rest, grace, and mercy. We pray for your wisdom as we follow, and we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ together. And everyone said, Amen.